Hello and welcome to Landward, readings of place and season, with this special edition from the Landward Poetry Project, inviting poems from all over Wisconsin. I'm Catherine Young. I live, farm, and write in Richland County in the Driftless area of Wisconsin. Today I'll be reading a poem by Linda Schaller from rural Gaze Mills, Wisconsin. It's called Downfall. Barns were once the great symbol of Wisconsin's dairy farms and all the pride farm families put into their work. As family dairy farms let go in our region, we witnessed faded barns and collapsed barns. In this poem, Linda Schaller shares all the memory, the stories, the beings, and the energy contained in her family's barn released as it is taken down. Downfall. When my siblings and I were growing up, our dairy barn centered the work days. It was a grand heartland classic, the kind you saw every quarter or half mile. The soaring gambrel roofs dominated farmsteads among Holstein cows on pasture. The fields of corn, oats, hay, and patches of woods. The ground level housed the cattle during snowy winters and other harsh weather, and for their twice-a-day, every-day milking. The upper story kept cured hay and straw. A tile silo flanked one outside corner to store the corn or hay fermented into silage. This barn, raised up in 1913, is now a century old and in need of major repair. No cows or hay are in need of its shelter. The time has come to dismantle our barn. Already stripped of barn board shell, the cathedral-high post and beam skeleton stands bared atop its squat stone foundation. I stand with my brother at a safe distance, sharing witness of this passing. Now chainsaws rip at the seams, underpinning the structural integrity. The whole barn readies to come undone. Less tethered, the roof seems ready to take off from stilts, to rise aloft as an indigo-blue parachute. A brawny skid steer begins to tug the rope looped around the fragile remains. Just as cows initiate reclining with a forward lean, so too this barn lists into its great, leisurely topple. A medley of memories flash during the tilting collapse. How at feeding time we kids pushed loose hay down a chute, then jumped with glee through the opening onto the pile a story below, then pitched the hay into mangers. How in early summer the haymow was empty, a cavernous maw awaiting new harvests of straw and hay. Evenly spaced stripes of sunlight gleamed through vertical gaps between siding boards, catching dust motes, casting luminous striations over the alleyway floor and stray bales of straw. The time I fell down a crevice into the dark interior of the mountain of baled straw, which I then pictured closing over me. My big brother's hand reached down from the slit of light above, grasped my thrashing, outstretched arm. Panic bled away as he hauled me up to safety. How towering workhorses stepped away, pulling via ropes, pulleys, and tines, a load of loose hay up to the peak along a track till the tines tripped and dropped the fodder, filling the mow ever closer to giant crossbeams. And cats threaded around the brackets, holding that 30-foot-high track, lunging out to snatch an unwary sparrow. For a moment I hear the echo call out to distant pastures where cattle grazed. Hey, bossy! Kaboss, kaboss, kaboss! Hey, bossy! We fetch them from the woods, following behind their single line headed by the boss cow. I sniff the sharp sour of fermented corn silage, the odor of fly spray, probably containing DDT, smell the tickling dust from fresh chaff that turned our snot green every hay harvest. I feel the sudsy warmth of the wash rag on cow's squishy tits, sense the moisture of 25 large mammals breathing. How I staggered with a galvanized metal pail of milk down the alley between rows of stanchions. I hefted it up to the strainer atop a 10-gallon milk can that received the sweet milk frothing forth, ringing metal when it hit the can's bottom. The cats gathered round, mewing for their share. Once a misplaced hoof bruised my foot for weeks. More than once, the stinging schlop of a cow's urine-soaked tail on the face. That I hung by my knees from the sides of calf pens, playing word games with Dad while he squatted between Holsteins, fussing with udder and milker, palpitating each quarter to determine the best time to remove the suction cup of each tit cup. Dad was particular about the health of his cow's udders. That my brother, waiting between tasks, rested his butt on the empty 16-quart milk pail to scratch a dog's floppy ears. Dad would meow to the cats and get answers. How I struggled to teach calves to drink from a pail held in one hand, the other hand immersed in the warm, foamy milk, offering fingers for the calf to suck, legs braced to dodge the inevitable rough bunts that could knock me down. How darned hungry a body is after morning chores, sisters, eggs, bacon, oatmeal, toast, jelly, fruit. Afterward, Ma washing milking utensils in the separate milk house with an assortment of special brushes. How the labor was both round and endless. The daily round, the seasonal round, year-round, the animals' needs ever-present, pulling us again and again and again to the barn, to the chores, to the comforting routine, to the exasperating tyranny of tending living beings. The horses left in 1955 when we got a Massey Ferguson tractor. The barn was emptied of cattle in 1967, still stored machinery, and some years hay. Dad stacked many seasons firewood in abandoned lean-to stanchions. The barn seemed a little lonely as it stood in lofty salute to its past. Back in the now, time's pause has passed. The barn's forward momentum founders in a discombobulated clatter and a puff of ancient chaff. In the end, the roof slumps spread-eagled over a helter-skelter pile of disjointed beams and boards. I've seen a cow slipping on ice go down that way, all fours splayed out in gawky bovine splits. Much of the sprawled carcass will have a new life trucked to California, where rusticity is in demand. Bossy's lodgings demoted to decor. My brother saves for each sibling a talisman to our shared history, a handcrafted wooden dowel that once held the timber frame together. As I cradle it, I think of how the barns, in turn, held our farms together, and how farms in good times, when prices held, the weather cooperated and machinery behaved, when little outfits could still make it. In those times, the farms held the farmers. You have been listening to a poem by Linda Schaller of Rural Gaze Mills, Wisconsin, Downfall.